Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm Ted Odorico, and right alongside, of course, each and every week with me is none other than Legends Tour player and LPGA professional Cindy Miller. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Ted.
How are you doing this? We're on the cusp of the Masters this week.
We are.
And I know we're all excited. Yeah, it's exciting. And I know your daughter is out working in Augusta National this weekend, correct?
She is. For the Golf Channel. We're very excited, although the sun has not come out in Buffalo yet. We don't have any snow, but we're waiting for spring.
Yeah, I know. It's supposed to be here already, but I can't complain. I'm, of course, being down in Florida. It's a little bit nicer than where you are right now, but I know it won't be that long. All right, everybody, we got a great show for you this morning, and I'll tell you a little bit about that here in just a second, but let me remind everybody, of course, we are live every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the blogtalkradio.com network. And for those of you who've never been here before, of course, best way to find us is go to blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf, or you can just type Women of Golf up in the search key, and that will take you to the main page. And, of course, we'll be front and center Tuesday mornings from 9 to 10. For those of you that maybe can't join us live and want to tune in a little bit later on, you can just scroll down on that page, and in the on-demand section, all of the shows, of course, are auto-recorded. So if you can't tune in live, just scroll down that page to the on-demand section, and you can listen to all of the shows in their entirety under the recorded section there. If you want to also catch us on some of the other social media platforms, you can listen into at iTunes.com, Stitcher.com, and now TuneIn.com as well. And again, under the podcast section, just type in Women of Golf, and that will take you there as well. Always love to hear from you. If you want to join us anytime during the live broadcast, you can do so by calling area code 347-945-5855. Love to hear from you as well. Or you can email comments or questions to either Cindy and I, and our email addresses are as follow. Cindy's is cindy@cindymillergolf.com, and mine, of course, is ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. So as I mentioned, we've got a great show, Cindy, this morning. We're going to be joined here in just a second by two great guests to start the show off, Zach Sapanek. He's the Symetra Tour Media and Public Relations Official, and Lieutenant Laurel Gill, who is a Meteorology Oceanography Officer in the United States Navy. So let me just tell you a little bit about them, and then we'll start a discussion this morning. As I mentioned, Zach is with us. He is in his first year with the LPGA Tour after being hired last fall, October 2017, as the Symetra Tour's Media and Public Relations Official. Prior to moving to Daytona Beach, Zach was a sports anchor and reporter for the NBC affiliate in Grand Rapids, Michigan, his hometown. He has a bachelor's in journalism from Grand Valley State University and a master's in strategic communication from the University of Oklahoma. And Laurel's a little bit about her. She's, again, Lieutenant Laurel Gill. She's a meteorology oceanography officer in the United States Navy and grew up in La Jolla, California. She went to college at the United States Naval Academy. And as a midshipman, Laurel participated in powerlifting, and she also created the USNA women's golf team. We'll talk to a little bit about that in later in the segment. She graduated in 2011 with a Bachelor's of Science in Oceanography and a minor in French, and currently stationed in San Diego. She's going to be playing in this weekend's Symetra Tour event, the IOA Championship, April 6th to 8th at the Tuckwet Cannon. And we're going to talk a little bit, first off, with Zach about the tournament itself, and then we'll talk to Laura about how she's going to be teaming up this weekend to try and win that championship. She's also been invited under a sponsor's exemption and invitation from the event. So, guys, welcome to the Women of Golf Show.
Well, thanks for having us, Ted.
I'm excited.
All right. Well, thank you. So, Zach, let's start off with you, as I said. Tell us a little bit about the tournament this weekend. Where is it going to be held, and what do you anticipate the field's going to be?
Yeah, well, we have a total of 144 players competing for a purse of $100,000 at the Morongo Golf Club at Tuckwit Canyon. It's the third annual IOA Championship presented by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Last year's winner, Daniela Darquea of Ecuador, is on the LPGA Tour now after earning conditional status through the LPGA qualifying tournament in December, so she won't be in the field, which means we will have a new winner this year. If you would like, these storylines kind of revolve around, besides the great story of Laurel, a lot of the local colleges out here, Cal State Fullerton, USC, UCLA, Stanford, a lot of all the California schools and kind of the bragging rights. And the bragging rights as far as schools go belong to UCLA. In 2016, Erin Lee won the tournament. She was 11 under for the tournament, and she graduated to the LPGA Tour through the Symmetra Tour last year, one of our 10 graduates every year. 10 graduates earn full-time LPGA card through the Symmetra Tour based on their ranking on the official money list at the end of the year. And that is the case again this year. So tournament number two, the IOA Championship, on the road to the LPGA, the next generation of future LPGA stars you get to watch right here each and every week. And it's like exciting action. I always joke about it. I started in October, and I have a golf background working at a country club back in Grand Rapids for several years and being a sports anchor. But these girls hit it way farther than anything I could ever dream of hitting. So it humbles you as the regular fan. And it's great fun to watch and see these girls chase not only their dreams, but their passion of something that some of them have pursued for greater than 15 years in their life.
Well said. You know, it's true what they say. You know, they always talk about the professional tours and that these guys are good. Let me tell you, the girls on the LPGA and obviously Symmetra Tour are great as well. Cindy, I know you might have a question or two, so go ahead.
What city is this tournament in this week? It says the Morongo Casino and Spa Resort and Spa, but what city is it in?
Yeah, so the tournament is in Beaumont, California, just down the road about 35 minutes from Palm Springs, Rancho Mirage area, where the LPGA Tour just held their first major of the season, the ANA Inspiration, with their Monday playoff finish yesterday. So kind of piggybacks right off the LPGA schedule in that sense, and kind of nice, just right down the road. Following right in the footsteps of the mothership, the LPGA, and good area, lots of mountains, and a little California haze in the morning.
Wow, thanks for getting up early for us. Laurel, I need to, first thing I need to say to you, Laurel, is thank you for your service. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Yes.
And second thing is, are you trying to spin plates and do two things at once and be a naval officer and an LPGA professional?
Well, I was active duty for 6 years, and I'm currently in the reserve, so that gives me the time to play golf and also do the Navy. And it's a good balance right now.
So are you trying to earn exempt status on the Symmetra Tour and eventually the LPGA Tour?
I would love to play professionally. That's eventually the goal. Currently, I'm still an amateur. So we'll take this one tournament at a time and keep working hard to see where it goes.
Awesome. Awesome. I bet you're really excited to tee it up this week.
This is my first big event and my first radio show, so thank you for having me. But it's all been really fun, and I'm really excited for all of it.
Good for you.
Very
good for you. I just want to say one thing, and then I'll let Ted talk. You've got to make sure you stay focused on the task at hand. Don't let all this hoopla make you crazy this week. Otherwise, the gerbils will win. And if it, I'm sure you had the opportunity to watch Fernella the last over the weekend, and wow, how focused and determined did she stay. So if you can do half of what
amazing.
She did, you're going to be very successful this week.
If I could be like her this week, that would be phenomenal.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to have a, you know, you've really got to stay focused on, as Cindy said, on the task at hand, because it can get away from you real quick. And, you know, obviously being a naval officer, and again, as Cindy, quote Cindy, and thank you for your service. We appreciate that very much. You know, you've obviously learned a lot from your time in the Navy to be disciplined and at whatever you do. So this is certainly going to help carry over in tournament play. But what do you do specifically, Laurel, to prepare for a tournament like this? What do you do? What areas do you focus on primarily? And what do you do? Is there sort of a ritual that you do in preparation for this weekend?
A lot of practice, focusing on the different aspects, definitely all the short game. I've been rolling a lot of putts. That's the main thing. You know, the driver, trying to get a little extra distance. I've been lifting a lot, but I don't want to have to push that in the tournament. So, you know, it's a long distance compared to most of the amateur events. So I figure I'm going to be trying to get up and down a lot. And so I've been focusing on the chipping, short game, putting, the usual.
What's the strongest part of your game?
Definitely my chipping. I could sit on the chipping green for hours on end just listening to music, and next thing you know, it's been like 3 hours, and it's a lot of good practice,
wow.
And it's, I think it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Wow. Do you have a special caddy this week?
My best friend, Elisa Diamond, she's a professional golfer, and she plays on the Cactus Tour, and so she'll be joining me, and I'm really excited to share this experience with her.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Now, Zach, you know, you've obviously are new to this position as of last fall, so you have an opportunity, as you said, to watch a lot of the players. What do you do specifically yourself to prepare for the tournament? What's your involvement, just for those that maybe don't know what it is that you do, what generally is your involvement in getting ready for each week's event?
So each week it'll vary from point to point on our kind of who is involved with the tournament. So, for instance, Morongo has a good contingent of volunteers and people on the board who are heavily involved. So that takes some stress away from me a little bit. But I do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, organize interviews with local TV, radio stations, talk with you guys, and we actually have another radio show, live radio show here in the Palm Springs area later this morning that will be going on, the Bill Feingold show. So do some appearances, work with the media. I do a lot of writing and some video production just to kind of market the players and get their name out there. You know, a lot of these players don't necessarily have the experience in marketing themselves right at this point in their career. They're kind of learning that, or, you know, they've been focused on junior golf and just kind of getting their feet under them, so to speak, as they get into the professional realm. So they're kind of learning that. And I kind of give them a voice and help people find out who they are on and off the course. And you know, it's something that, coming from the other side where I used to do that for myself from a television standpoint,
right,
and now doing it for others, I think it's a really unique opportunity and something that I really cherish, because you know, it kind of, in a sense, you give back to the people, to the girls who have worked so hard to get here, but at the same time, you know, you produce some work that you know, people are reading and watching. And I tell everybody, we had a tournament announcement up in the Valley Forge area and earlier this winter, and After the announcement, went and took the our local player, Emily Gimple, around Philadelphia and did a Philly cheesesteak tour. Later this week, we're hoping to do a little In-N-Out burger challenge, since In-N-Out's kind of the king out here of fast food and food
right.
in general. So, yeah, so just some fun stuff. Get the players involved in the community, involved with the media, get their name out there, and just a lot of content production for us, since I kind of am the lone ranger, if you will, for that, and making sure the Symmetric Tour name gets around town and all that sort of stuff.
Well, we're certainly glad to be able to offer some help in that area. And also, just a quick note, I want to mention, too, that the IOA, or Insurance Office of America, is the key title sponsor of this event, but it's not the only one. They're going to be sponsoring some other events throughout the year as well, correct?
Yep. They actually expanded their relationship with the Symmetric Tour in 2018. So where they were having two events usually a year, they expanded to three. So they'll have the IOA Championship this week, and then our next tournament, May 4th through 6th in Milton, Georgia, the IOA Invitational. And then later on in the year, they actually are now leading the IOA Golf Classic in Longwood, Florida, from September 28th through 30th. So, yeah, they expanded their relationship with us this year, two to three events. And, it's a relationship that continues to grow and provides these future stars of the LPGA some great backing and support. And their partnership is very valuable.
Fantastic. Cindy, go ahead.
Can you tell me what the Insurance Office of America does? Is it like a one-stop shop for companies to buy insurance? The name doesn't really explain what they do.
Yeah, I mean, Insurance Office of America, I think a lot of it, they're based, they have a base in Florida. They also have an office in out here in California as well. That's why we have a tournament out here, but they do a lot more than insurance. They do a lot with their clients in international markets, payroll services, personal insurance, group health benefits, 401k advisory. So they do a lot of the their name really kind of states what they do, but they really kind of how they are as a sponsor for the Symmetric Tour. They're really focused on building those long term relationships with their clients, and their kind of backing and support and trust with the loyalty that they create with their clients. Is resembling of what they do out here on tour with all the girls and offering what they do through the tournaments that they have.
Fantastic.
So it's employee benefits.
Yeah, that's
and
fantastic.
HR services and stuff.
Yeah. Yep. That kind of. Yep.
Super. Thank
very
you.
Very cool. Very cool. So, Laurel, going back to you, obviously you're ready for this week and you've probably got some final preparations. What do you, now you said you've got a friend of yours is going to be on the bag this weekend. Is there anything that you've asked or that you're going to ask her in preparation to sort of get some last minute tips on how to handle yourself out there?
Well, she's very level headed. So I'm going to be trying to get that from her and how she stays so level-headed.
That's good.
I'm a very
that
go,
certainly
go,
would
go
help
type her. Person.
Perfect.
I know the feeling.
Now Laurel, Cindy. Cindy's obviously played on the LPGA and now the Legends Tour for a number of years, and she can attest to it. You're a go too, Cindy, correct?
Correct. So try breathing. That always seems to work, and stay focused on the task at hand and not the situation.
That's some good advice.
Right. Now, you mentioned that chipping is a strong area of your game. Is there an area that you're going to have to really rely on this week that normally doesn't fit into your wheelhouse? What areas? And I hate to use the term weak area, because I don't like to, especially coming into a tournament. I don't want to jinx you. But what area isn't as strong that you're going to have to really rely on the other parts of your game to sort of help?
Areas of improvement.
Yes.
Yeah. probably my iron shots coming into the green. I do. Yeah, I don't hit my driver quite as far as all the other ladies. So I have, you know, more hybrids and woods coming in as opposed to, you know, a 9 or 8 iron. So just working on those clubs. And so I've been practicing a lot with those, the, you know, 170 yards. And I've been, you know, aiming at a lot of targets, just mixing it up on the range, playing games with my friends out there who can hit the target first. And so just practicing with those, the longer irons for sure.
Perfect. Now, we mentioned early in the segment that you were involved in creating the USNA, which is the Naval Academy's women's golf team. Tell us a little bit about that, how that came about.
My freshman year, after I was at the academy for a while, and or probably about 6 months, and I wanted to go golfing, but I didn't really have the opportunity since as a midshipman, you can only go out on the weekend. So it's not like a normal college. I couldn't just go golfing whenever. And so I wanted that opportunity available for me. But also I had a group of ladies that I was friends with who also were golfers back in high school and wanted to pursue that into college. And so by working together, we were able to create this team that we were able to go out during the week and practice. And we found a coach. We put in a lot of hard work doing the fundraising, going around to different people and being like, hey, this is what we need. This is what we're trying to do. You know, can you help us out? And working with the administration to get things off the ground. So it was a long process. It took us, you know, each year we kind of made it a different step in the process. We were an extracurricular activity. Then we were a club sport. And then the year after I graduated, the Naval Academy decided to fully fund it. And now it's a Division I varsity sport. So that opportunity is available for, you know, ladies who've come after me and, you know, generations to come.
That is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited that.
Let me ask,
you know,
was your coach an officer or someone from a civilian?
He was a civilian, Coach Kovac. He was a member of the men's club at the Naval Academy and saw us out there practicing, and he offered to help us out coaching. And he also knew a lot of the key players out at the course and different schools trying to coordinate matches and everything. So he had all the connections. You know, we worked hard to create more connections to get the matches off the ground, and, you know, just starting everything it was a lot of work, and he put in a lot of time, totally volunteering to help us out.
That's great. Now, when you were done at the Naval Academy, did you have to go serve for 2 more years?
So after the Naval Academy, there's a 5-year minimum commitment. So I was I've served active for 6 years, and I was stationed down in San Diego, California at the Fleet Weather Center San Diego. And so now I'm in the reserves. I'm actually with the affiliated reserve unit. So I go back to the same command, doing the same job, meteorology and oceanography. And the Weather Center does all of the forecasting for the Navy, for all of the ships and aircraft around the world, or half of the world. But it's a lot of ships and aircraft.
Wow. How cool is that? Now, how often do you have to go in? Is it once a month and then 2 weeks a year?
Yes, exactly.
Good for you. You know what?
Very.
What you've already done in your life is probably more difficult and demands more focus, training, and resilience than this thing you got coming up this weekend. So just remember that. You've already experienced more things than most women will ever experience in their lives, and you need to be very proud of yourself.
Thank you. I think we all have different strengths, and we're all different experiences. So it'll be fun to get their perspective on it, playing with the ladies of this caliber this weekend.
Well, I think this tournament's going to be a breeze, I think, for you, Laurel, with what Cindy just said. I agree. Being ex-Navy myself, I know it's not always easy going through the training, and it can be very, very difficult and challenging. It takes a lot of discipline, let me tell you. So congratulations on that, and again, thank you for your service. So just as we wrap up this segment, any final thoughts, Zach, that you want to share with the audience before we go with respect to this weekend's tournament?
It's going to be a great tournament. I mean, we had some great performances the first week of the year at Florida's Natural Charity Classic. Lauren Kim fired 9 under par in the final round to erase a 4-stroke deficit in the final day. You got several players in the top 10 who have conditional status on the LPGA currently. So lots of names who have made a, who have been on the LPGA Tour before, but who are also hungry to get there. So Iowa Championship is going to provide a great base for them to continue the journey. And we're not only excited for Iowa to be a host sponsor for it, but also to see what these girls can do out at Morongo Golf Club from Friday through Sunday this week.
Perfect. Well, have a great tournament this weekend, and you particularly, Laurel, best of luck. Go and knock them dead, as they say. And we wish you the best of luck. And Zach, thank you. I know we'll be talking to you throughout the year, I'm sure many more times, and we appreciate you coming on and giving us some access to the Symetra Tour. And I guess if they want more information, not only on the tournament, but on the Symetra Tour in general, for those tuning into the program this morning, they can go to symetratour.com, correct?
That's as easy as it gets.
Yep, sounds good. Well, Zach and Laurel, thank you very much for joining Cindy and I this morning on the Women of Golf Show. We appreciate it. And as I said, best of luck this weekend in the tournament. Keep up the great work, Zach and Laurel. Best of luck again in the tournament.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Ted. Thank you,
Thanks,
Cindy.
Laurel. Good luck.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, honey. Have a good time.
All right, that was our very special guest this morning, Zach Sapanek and Lieutenant Laurel Gill, talking about this weekend's Iowa Championship, which is being presented by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa in out at Tuckwet Canyon. That's going to be this Friday to Sunday, April 6th to April 8th. So you want to make sure if you're going to be out there, maybe get a chance to go out and actually visit live at the tournament. And if not, I'm sure you'll be able to pick up some information. Just visit symmetratour.com, and there may be some local affiliates that may be carrying the tournament. I don't know if the Golf Channel will carry some snippets of it or not, but we'll see. But anyways, great to have them on the show. And we've got another great guest joining us this morning, Cindy Donna White. She's the Director of Golf Professional Services, and she's also the serving as the current president of the Southeast Section with the LPGA Executive Committee. And she's originally from Kingston, North Carolina, and attended the University of North Carolina in Greensboro before transferring to the University of Florida, where she's had an extensive junior and amateur career, winning the U.S. Women's M in 1976, and was a Curtis Cup team member and a World team member. Winner of 3 LPGA Tour titles. She retired from the tour in 92 and has been doing a lot of other great things. Currently, she stays involved in business and still teaches and coaches. And as I said, is the current president of the Southeast Section of the LPGA Executive Committee, and also stays involved with Special Olympics, the LPGA USGA Girls Golf Program, and the PGA, many of the PGA of America initiatives. So let's welcome on our second round of guests, Donna White.
Good morning.
Good morning. How is everything up there in the snow while I'm sitting in 80-degree temperature?
Well, the snow has melted, dear. But it's only 41 degrees. But to us, I don't even have a coat on today. It feels like summer.
We're supposed to have a cold wave. I think it's going to be in the mid-70s.
Oh, poor you.
Thank
you for joining us, my dear.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Go ahead, Ted.
Donna, let me just start off with a question that I thought would be great to ask you, because I know you're involved with the LPGA, USGA Girls Golf programs and that. But, you know, it's no secret now that young girls are the fastest growing segment in golf. You know, all the stats point to that. How do we keep that trend sort of going? How do we keep getting a lot of these young girls interested in golf?
Well, I think from the instruction side, it's opening up your programs, all your programs now to young girls, you know, having an LPGA, USGA girls site at your facility. But from the exposure side, it's just like all girls sports. I think, you know, we just have to keep that changing of the game, whatever sport it is, or changing of the face of the sport, you know, up front and focused, you know, the media attention, for example, you know, some of the features of some of the commercials that they do, you know. So I think it's raising awareness, as well as from the professional side of it for Cindy and I and those in the industry, you know, making sure that we, you know, include girls and women and the moms. You know, the moms are a big part of that, as well as the dads. You know, I think golf is a great go-to sport for any young kid today, you know, particularly, you know, the soccer, you know, you can't play soccer all year round and stuff. So, you know, although they try to make them do that. So I think those are the two key things. Is at the professional level, there's things that we can do to from programs, but from the media exposure, I think that's the other thing that we, you know, that we can do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, you know, putting a face to changing the image of a sport to be sort of all inclusive like that is certainly going to help. I just have another question, and Cindy, I'm going to throw it back to you. You know, one of the things that we also want to do, it's great that we're getting a lot of young girls and women in general coming to the sport. And a lot of the younger girls particularly that do come in have aspirations of maybe playing one day on whether it be the Symetra Tour or eventually the LPGA Tour and beyond. But what can we do and what particularly can the LPGA needs to be more involved, do you think, in getting more of these young girls to lean towards the teaching side? How do we get more female teaching professionals out there? What steps do you think could be taken that maybe are not already being taken?
Cindy? Is that for Cindy or for me?
No, that's for you. That's for you.
Oh, for me? Okay. Well, that's a pretty easy sell when I tell the parents that only 1% of the juniors that play golf are going to get a D1 scholarship. You know, everybody thinks that their daughter's the next Annika or that their son's the next Tiger Woods, but when you show them the stats. The other thing that I personally like to inform people about is that, look, there are only 30,000 pros in this industry of 1.9 million people that work in it. And so that means there's a lot of opportunities, like 1.8 whatever opportunities in this golf industry that does not include playing on the tour or even becoming an LPGA professional. So even if you are an LPGA TNCP member, you can become part of that 1.7 in many different ways. I mean, your golf ball can take you well beyond the ropes of the golf course. So that's probably the biggest thing that Cindy and I both are always trying to promote is what this industry truly is. You know, people have a total misinterpretation of what golf is. They think it's the Masters this week. They don't realize all the ancillary opportunities for women and men that are out there. I mean, just to do the Masters, just think of all the other elements outside of the professional golfer that's there. That that an opportunity for employment arises. So I think it's up to us to inform and educate the world about golf. They think it's professional golf. They don't even know the difference between professional golf and being a golf professional. So, you know, there's a branding problem there that I think both the LPGA, TNCP, and the PGA of America really need to be, we need to be better at that. You know, people, I even have kids that I coach here at the university. They don't even know the difference when I ask them to define what a professional golfer is and what a golf professional is. So they come here and they want to go into the management, you know, the golf management sector of it. And they just think it's all about golf and golf swing and being a club pro or whatever. So there's so many elements, I think, that both the LPGA, TNCP, and PGA of America that we can really do better as far as informing the public about this industry.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's just it goes back to what you said earlier about sort of a marketing and branding and how it's presented to the public in general. Cindy, go ahead.
So, Donna, I happen to know, I've known you since college, and I have admired you for many, many, many years. So tell us exactly, in my opinion, you're one of the pioneers of those who have gone from being a successful LPGA Tour player to being almost more successful as a businesswoman. So tell us what Golf Professional Services, Inc. does.
Thanks, Cindy. Well, we provide all the merchandise. In other words, we own the golf shops, the food and beverage, all the instructional programs, you know, the club fitting services, club repair services. We assist with the tournament operations, those types of things, marketing, and, you know, pretty much everything that on the golf professional side of it that typically would be at a facility. And therefore, we're contracted by Palm Beach County to provide these services at some of their facilities. So that's pretty much what we do in a nutshell. It's been an interesting journey, particularly, as you said, I mean, I started this company in 1995, and while I don't like to think of this as a male-dominated industry, I like to look at it more as an industry where I get to pursue my passion and talents regardless. It's still been a journey, and I've been grateful to be able to, you know, to be successful in both the business side as well as the programming side.
That's awesome. And I happen to know that you've also got a nonprofit foundation that you help junior golfers. Can you tell us about that?
Well, being in the municipal golf side of the industry, and me, myself, coming from, you know, I wasn't a member of a country club. You know, I've always felt very comfortable more at the semi-private facilities, even though I've worked at private clubs. You know, I was that Joe Q. Public's child. So when I formed my company, my mission was to also to provide affordable programming for youth in South Florida. And it was coming at a time when Tiger was at his peak. And so we still, even today, have a lot of parents who are not golfers, who are like me, or parents who started golf with their kids. And so I was encouraged. Bobby Brown was my head pro at that time. We were encouraged. We formed a junior golf foundation, Okahele Junior Golf Foundation, and then now it's the Junior Golf Foundation of America. And it's probably been one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. So it's a foundation that allows us to raise money. My entire junior program is run through the foundation, bottom line. So it allows kids to play, you know, it allows us to keep our rates very affordable and provide programming to those kids that typically would not be, you know, most of our youth, they are not members of a country club. You know, we're a municipal facility. We've had some great success. We're proud Chase and Brooks Koepka are from our program. You know, they were dropped off every day at 7 o'clock in the morning and picked up at night. Now we have kids of the kids, Cindy, so that's how old I am. You know, and it's so neat to, you know, they're doctors and lawyers and just follow them and see now how they, too, now are getting – are staying involved in the game, even though they may not be in the professional side of it, but now have their kids and their family and their parents and stuff all playing. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
You know, Donna, something that sort of struck me there in your conversation, you know, talking about families, And I really see this as, you know, sort of the next evolution of golf. You know, again, as you mentioned earlier, you know, it has been for a long time sort of a male-dominated sport. Now we're getting more women involved. And obviously there have been a lot of young kids over the years that have gotten into golf and played, gone to the professional level. But I think really the trend now is to get more families out there playing as a family, you know, whether it be on vacation or even just on a weekend, just getting together. What a great opportunity to help solidify and family bonding time, if you will. And this is obviously something that you're trying to do through the Junior Golf Foundation of America, correct?
Well, that's something we've always done. It's always been everything, even with we were one of the first LPGA, USGA girl sites. And even through that, that's the great thing I love about that program, because it's really more recreational based. And so even in that, we would provide, you know, parent-child events. I do an instructional program that's parent interactive. In other words, with the little ones, the parents are involved with it. It's called Start Smart, which is also a common program with soccer and football. But that also enables us as program leaders to develop a rapport with that parent, because like I said, some of them are new to the game. And so that builds the relationship. You know, the program that I develop, we're, you know, I'm like Cindy. Our goal is to keep these kids with us through high school. You know, we develop long-term relationships, and that's with the family. It's not just the child, because, and so now you're kind of seeing a lot of that being in the municipal side of it, or the public arena. You know, that's something that's, it's like, duh, where have you been? Sitting under a rock? I mean, it's like that's the way that you should be doing it, and it's nothing new. There are a lot of people that are in public and municipal that have been doing this for years. It's just
right
now, with the change of the recession, you saw, you know, private clubs, you know, struggle, become semi-private. You saw semi-private clubs now that are public, and now it's like, whoa, you know, we need to get members. And so you've seen this big push for family fun and friends, but truthfully, Cindy can tell you there's a lot of great professionals that have been doing this, you know, since the inception of the game, and those programs that have been successful. So families are important, but the key is keeping them as lifelong, you know, participants. And this is a great sport. I mean, you know, you got grandfathers and great-grandfathers out there. It's the neatest thing. I did a progressive program for Physically Challenged just last month. And, you know, one of the gentlemen, he had had a stroke. And he had a son come with him every single weekend. And it was the neatest thing, because he's there videoing him and being part of it. And, you know, it's that continued participation. You know, we've done all these one shot in the arm. I'll probably get in trouble here, Cindy, but, you know, our associations have promoted all these one-shot-in-the-arm initiatives. Oh, that's great, but how are you going to keep them? You know, it's like
right.
The Get Golf Ready program is great, but, you know, how about Got Golf Ready? You know, or like our, you know, it's neat. We just started an LPGA 101 program, which is awesome, but already one of our members has said, okay, well, I'm doing a 201. You know, it's the progressive education and participation that I think that our members and our professionals need to focus on. It's great to have the bus drive up in the parking lot and put the T-shirt on the kids and take a photo and say you're doing a program, but how greater is it when they are 30 years old, when they drive up in the parking lot and get their kid out of the car to do the program? You know, and I think that should be really the intent and the purpose and the mission for us to be able to grow the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Cindy, go ahead.
So tell us what you're doing with the kids. Give me some ideas, because we teach an awful lot of kids up here. We've got a junior camp starting in 15 minutes. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because we've also got a young man who went to college and graduated and worked in New York City for a while, who just texted me last night and said, hey, I'm back in Buffalo. I want a lesson. And, he, you know, he's like 27 years old. And we started him when he was 13. So that's what we're talking about. But give me some ideas so I can steal some.
Well, I've given you our Start Smart Parent Interactive stuff. We have what's called a progressive education program that I did. It's 5 levels you progress through. So you're with us for years, and you can progress through at your own rate. And so we combined, and we always have them on the golf course right away. So we try to combine games, you know, the game of golf or the swing of golf. I think that's been a key to our success. We have recreational opportunities for competition. We're actually losing kids, as you know, in junior golf in middle school age now. My belief on that is because we have exposed them to tournaments, competitive tournaments, at too early of an age. They're not ready to compete. So I'm more inclined to do a little more recreational type of competition, like with a team or a partner, or less stress, because there's, two stages. You got to have learning readiness, but you got to be ready to compete. And some of our five-year-olds are not ready to be thrown into tournaments every single week down here. So down here, it's like every week those kids are playing in a tournament just so that they can get a picture on Facebook and show grandma, which is, look, if there are some five-year-olds, a few that may be ready to compete, but I personally don't. I've seen just very few. I think the combination of a lot of different things, getting feedback, Cindy, is important from the parents and from the kids. I think my staff has done a great job getting feedback, not staying set in stone about how we teach a program, now using blending technology now with the camps and even with the young kids, and they're letting them use their cell phone to research some of the terms and things like that. So I just think that's been a key. Let me summarize that. So I think keeping the parents involved or their guardian involved, staying creative on the type of programs that you offer, and being able to blend the game and learning the swing. I mean, truthfully for us, and the core of it is how it associates to life, blending all this stuff to life skills and transferable skills. So I think that's pretty much how we've done it. And as I've always said, your best marketing tool are your students. You're only as good as the last lesson you gave or the last program you gave. So, staying involved on that side with the kids, even after they leave.
Agree. Totally agree.
I think that's, I agree with that as well, Donna. Donna, we had recently on the program, we had a woman who organizes an adaptive golf program for those that have different physical challenges and needs. And, one of the things that she's talked about is that there is literally a huge population of folks at various ages that fall into that category that really are not being, addressed by not only the golf industry, but a lot of other industries. And I know you've had some involvement with Special Olympics. Talk us a little bit about that and some of the things that you're doing there and maybe some ways that golf can better tap into that area as well and get some of the, not just the kids, but even some of the adults that maybe have adaptive physical challenges or even some mental challenges that maybe golf could help them down the road.
Good question. I've been involved with that really since 1970. I've been involved with Special Olympics since college. So for me, it kind of came natural. I had a professor that, that I've always kind of had an inclination, to make golf accessible for all ages and ability, and regardless of skill level, physically challenged and intellectually challenged. I think, number one, the biggest hurdle in our industry that we have to get over, to tell you the truth, is the professionals, they don't feel like they have the skills to teach someone with a physical or intellectual challenge. That's the biggest hurdle. So when Judy Alvarez and I or other people, we go around and we train, for me, when I train professionals or volunteers to get involved with Special Olympics, I have to sell them on the point. Really, it's no different than teaching anyone. It just may take a little more patience, a little more creativity, and a little more time. Otherwise, you focus on their abilities just like you would in a lesson. So Once we tell the pros or the new instructors that we're trying to get to run these types of programs, then they seem to relax and gain confidence, and then they feel like they have the ability to go to their communities and, initiate a program like this. So I think that's probably been a big hurdle for us. They think, well, I don't have any background in special education or therapeutic recreation or occupational therapy. And so I say, well, do like I do. Have a recreational therapist come to you when you offer your adaptive clinic. Have an occupational therapist come to you or a physical therapist. So network within the community around you. You know, we're involved with the Else for Autism here at Kaiser. We get our students, you know, doing practical training with that. It's just, I totally agree with whoever you had on there. Look, truthfully, we would all fall in that category. Every one of us has something.
Right.
So I think if you look at our interviews, Ted, when we interview a student, I'm telling you, everybody has strengths and weaknesses. And I think if we embrace it in a holistic type of presentation, I think it's easier to sell those types of programs and for facilities to open themselves up to become more inclusive. On the flip side of that, when you look at that participant, it's just like a regular golfer that we have that comes to a lesson. They have apprehensions. They aren't real sure they can do stuff. But that's the same for any student we teach. A lot of our students, particularly those women that the lesson was booked by their husband, you know, so I try to make it come in from a holistic approach when I speak to both volunteers who want to help with programs or professionals who are interested in, you know, getting more information to be able to provide these accessible golf programs at their facilities. That, look, it's really no different than any student or customer that walks through your doors.
Right. I agree. And I think you kind of hit it on the nail on the head. You know, I think it's important for the industry, whether it be the LPGA or PGA of America, really to reach out within the community and maybe even partner with organizations that do work with special needs and maybe draw from their experience, because obviously, you know, we have a great teaching community that works in the system that deals with special needs children and adults, and they have a wealth of knowledge to draw on. So, you know, why not partner and get involved in that from a community standpoint? And just add golf to the element, you know, through the various teaching professionals.
That's the only way it works, is at the grassroots level.
Right.
I mean, I was doing Special Olympics golf in a soccer field even when I was playing on tour, you know.
Right.
It just, that's how it works. And then someone saw it or someone got involved, and that's how the whole Blaine Special Olympics golf program got ignited. You know, I had a pro-am, Cindy played in it for years. I would do, I'd raise money for Special Olympics. And I said, well, golf's not in the Special Olympics lineup as an official sport, but I was doing it at the soccer field here. The same thing with the HOPE program. That's through the VA. The same thing through Accessible Golf, through the Parks and Rec. The same thing with the strokes for HOPE. There's the Stroke Association. But you got to pick the phone up, and you got to go out and say, look, I have a golf course. I have a driving range here. Can you help me? You know, and are you kidding? They are looking for things from a therapeutic recreation standpoint on getting their clients out or their students out, even the after school, the special education. When I first started the Special Olympics program, we had one special education teacher that just loved golf. She'd go around and pick up all the kids and bring them. Those days have changed now because we have one of the largest Special Olympics golf programs here in Palm Beach County. But Cindy can tell you, it's just like her – it's me and Cindy and the pro and the manager of that club giving that professional or those members, empowering them to pick the phone up. Look, I call it the tour player syndrome. And, well, you know, Cindy and I can both laugh at this because we'll have tour players who are making a transition. They think they can put their tour player bag on the driving range and all these lessons are going to come. You know? And then next thing you know, well, golly, you know, I worked here and I didn't, you know, I just couldn't make a living. And that, you know, so Cindy and I will be the first one to say, well, what certifications do you have to teach? You know, so it's the same thing for building any type of program, you know, so it's picking up the phone and empowering yourself with the knowledge and information to provide and offer these programs. And look, if your facility won't offer them, find a facility that will. I guarantee you, municipal facilities in your communities or in the communities are starving for program access. You know, put yourself out there. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Well, God bless
you. Yeah, well said, Donna. You know, the young lady that I was referring to, Gianna Rojas, she's an adaptive golfer herself. And one of the comments, Donna, sort of falls into line with what you've been talking about, and it's really education. And, you know, she started an organization, adaptivegolfers.org. And one of the things that she, her mission is really to provide information, not just from the teaching side. I mean, she's certainly not a teacher professional, but she communicates with a lot of teacher professionals on getting them to sort of get involved with that community. But more importantly, she reaches out to that community and gives them a wealth of information on where they can go to find out the things they need to do, what organizations
to
they can contact.
Programs.
And that's really...
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Programs, equipment,
exactly.
She posts. Yeah. They may have to have modified equipment. You know, there's equipment out there, you know,
right.
for that can be that people really don't even know about it. A lot of the tour players, I mean, a lot of our teaching pros don't as well. Yeah. So any type of resources like that, it's a small community, it's a small network, and I'm grateful to be part of it.
Well said. Well, Donna, for those that want to reach out and learn a little bit more about you and golf professional services, where can they go? Do you have a website that we can direct them to?
The website is www.golfprofessionalservices.org or jgfa.org. Or if they want to email me, if they have any questions, feel free to email me. dwhite4155@aol.com. I say probably one of my greatest strengths is I am not scared to pick the phone up if I don't know a question or an answer. I try to link someone and then I back out. So I'm good at connecting people to people and then I'll back out. So hopefully if they have a question, I can direct them somewhere to find an answer.
Well, perfect.
Well, thank you,
Donna,
my dear. You are the best.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cindy. Thanks, Seth. Thanks for having me. All right, stay warm.
All right, well, thank you very much, Donna.
Okay,
we will.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
All right, that was our very special guest, Donna White, joining us, the Director of Golf Professional Services. And what a great wealth of information Donna has, you know, about the business and some great ideas as well. And, Cindy, I know you know her personally quite well, and it was great to have her on this morning. And I know you've got to rush off to do some lessons, so we'll wrap things up here. Again, a special thanks to our guest this morning, Zach Spanik from the Symetra Tour Media and Public Relations, and Lieutenant Laurel Gill, member of the United States Navy. She's off to play in this weekend's Symetra Tour event, the IOA Championship, presented by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa at Tuckwet Canyon. This weekend from April 6th to 8th. So good luck to Laurel and all of the other participants in this weekend Symetra Tour event. And again, a special thank you to Donna White for joining us as well. And on behalf of Cindy Miller and I, we want to thank you for joining us this morning on the Women of Golf Show. And we look forward to serving you next Tuesday right here from 9 to 10 on the Women of Golf. Thanks, everybody. God bless and have a great week. And enjoy the Masters for those of you that are going to be there attending and those that are going to be watching on TV. Have a great watch a great event. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, Ted. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.